Anyway, Genesis chapter 24. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we have been on the life of Peter. And then I was reminded on Monday evening when I was in a leadership meeting that it was Mother and Sunday this Sunday. And I thought, it'd be difficult to preach about the big burly fishermen when it's Mother and Sunday. So I didn't get lynched by the feminists after the service. I thought, right, we'll speak about a lady. And in Genesis chapter 24, we hear the story of Rebecca. And there does seem to be a theme, as Amanda was sharing. She spoke about three times she spoke about the marriage. And there does seem to be a theme in my heart as well, that reignite and to realize with the revelation that fair is to be in love with Jesus, to be spiritually married to Christ. And this last week, it's never been deliberate, and I sat to deliberately study biblical marriage, and it's just been a flow of the Holy Spirit. As I was sharing in a Bible study on Tuesday evening, I shared at Calvary about Jesus turning water into wine, the first miracle. And Tuesday, we are going through Romans, and we just seem to hit it, that chapter in Romans, when it goes on about dying to the power of the law, and you've got a new husband in Jesus. He sets us free. And it's a love relationship, unlike the law that was just written. We did not have a relationship with a law, but we have a relationship with Jesus. And I was 5 days, I must confess, I was 5 days behind on my Bible app. I'm the last day in the Bible app with the rest of the church. Really sorry. It's marks my soon really, really poor. But I was 5 days behind on the yearly Bible app. I will say, it's not that I didn't read my Bible for 5 days. I just wasn't in the app. But praise God, yesterday, got caught up. If I got caught up yesterday, one of the days was Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine at a wedding. And I'd already been studying this. It'd been a busy week on ministry. Was it Calvary Sunday evening? Was it the Bible study Tuesday? Christine Russell's funeral service on Friday morning and speaking this week. But God is good. And when you realize that you are in a love relationship with Jesus, that he's powerful, that he's almighty, you do not have to worry about lack. He gets you through. You just have to lean on him, greater at some points than at other times. But you are spiritually married, if you're a born-again believer, to Jesus Christ. He's your Lord, he's your Savior, he's your husband in the Spirit. He's a lifter of your heart, he's a lifter of your heads. And when I was studying Genesis chapter 24, I was studying different commentaries and different sermons to do this as well. It's an arranged marriage. So I'll tell you the story and then we'll go into it a bit deeper. Isaac's mom, Sarah's passed away. Abraham is getting old of age. So they're in a moment of grief. But Isaac was a promised child. There was going to be seed through him. He was a promised child. Got to be seed through him to carry on the lineage of Abraham. He's got to have descendants like sand on the seashore. And Isaac didn't have a wife. So Abraham's greatest servant, his lead servant, went before him and says, look, Isaac needs a wife. And so Abraham says, right, go back to the place for I came from, find him a wife there. And then the servant goes, and there's a little test. On the way, the servant says this. He brings 10 camels, brings loads of gift for his future, Isaac's future wife. And then he says this prayer. He says, okay, Lord, this is the test. I'm going to go to this well, and if ever woman comes, we have a pitcher full of water, and says, do you want a drink? To the servant, and he would drink, but would also say, I'm going to give your camels a drink as well. He says that would be the sign that that lady was to be Isaac's bride. And it says that while he was still praying, this beautiful woman comes up, offers the servant a drink, and offers the camels a drink. And then he says, you got married to Isaac, goes and asks permission for the dad, and then they go on the journey back. And it's a great love story. When I was studying this, there's a lot of sermons to do with good dating tips. Titles like Finding a Wife God's Way, Being Led into Marriage. And then it gives you dating principles on behalf of the story here to find a bride. I'm not going there this morning. For you young lads, you think, how do I find that bride? Follow Jesus. Give yourself a good wash. Fall in love with somebody and ask out with them. But also singleness is to be celebrated in the church as well. For me, this is not dating tips. I could give you guys, young guys, tips on dating. You mind at school, when you was in that academy and sort of girls went for just being little annoying and smelly to, oh, can fancy them, and you sort of start to take a bit more pride in yourself, your appearance. My advice is just put on your best pair of jeans, follow Jesus, put on your good trainers, put a shirt on, do your hair, brush your teeth, sort your eyebrows out, and go and ask out. I say sort your eyebrows out, it's a thing, especially if you're a duffy with bushy eyebrows. You can't help you sort your eyebrows out. Young guys, take notes, Sam, take notes. Your pen and paper. It's like this. You lick out two fingers. And you go like that. And that's you sort your eyebrows out. You got it, Sam? Like this. That's it. So before you ask out with a girl, dear, this time next week, Sam will be walking in here with a girlfriend. Just one, Sam. You're not allowed two girlfriends, okay? That's got two timing. You used to get out in the academy, you've been two timed. It seems like a wrestling move, like you're just going body slammed, and it was really, really heart-wrenching, and I've never really got an hour out. But we did that, do we? We did two timing. So Sam, just one girlfriend at a time, okay? Love Jesus, follow the Lord. Make sure she does as well. Didn't just go to church, but you really, really love Jesus. That's the best dating tip I can give you. And if you're meant to fall in love, it'll happen. And if you're meant to just pluck up that courage, do not let just that circumstance pass you by. You just, even if you kind of say it to our face, get some of your pals to say, go and ask Carol with me or give her a text message. Or these young people will probably do Snapchats nowadays, isn't it? But this is near the point for chapter 24 in Genesis for me. For me, it's a prophetic picture of Jesus being the child of the promise, Isaac, but looking for a bride, the church. Jesus spoke about a moment that the groom, which was him, and the bride would be joined together in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It speaks of Revelations. The Lamb of God would come. And people of every tribe, every nation, and every tongue would gather together as followers of Jesus. And it would be a royal marriage. The trumpet will sound, we'll get caught up with him. There will be bread, there'll be wine, there'll be things we've never eaten before. It's got to be a celebration. Hallelujah. This is a picture for me of a servant, which is a Holy Spirit, gone before the Father and saying, Jesus needs a bride. And the mission of the Holy Spirit as Abraham's servant is to go and to get a bride for Jesus. It's to go in a distant land and prepare a bride, to seek out a bride and take a bride one day to be joined in holy matrimony forevermore. This for me is not good dating tips. This for me is fully prophetic about us being prepared, the church, to meet Jesus. So in that context, there's a few things I want to say that I think will be valuable to see the heart that God has for the church as we prepare to meet Jesus. First thing I want to say is for chapter 24, verse 11. The condition was this, that they would meet at a well, that the servant would go to a well, and he would wait for a lady to come to the well, go to the place of supply. The place of the well was a place of supply. The bride would come, go to the well, for she would eventually find a servant and end up marrying Isaac. But I believe that Jesus is coming for a bride and is expecting a bride that will know where to find the supply. A well is significant because it's a place of water, it's a place of supply, and it's a place of presence, it's a place of fellowship. This lady was coming to the place of supply. And I'm praying for us as a church that we know where to go when we're looking for supply. It'd be easy for me to preach a good Pentecostal message about the coming of the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about the advancement of the church to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But as well as all that, I need a supply for living. Not just a supply for seeing people saved and set free and moving on with the Lord, seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I need a supply to live every day in this life that can be tired, that can be wearisome, that you can get your knocks. There is always a supply in Jesus and his presence. It says in Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you drink, shall you draw from the wellsprings of salvation. That for us as the people of God, there is a real well. We didn't have to go to the waters of Florth and jump in a car to get some supply. But our supply is found in the presence of Jesus. And Isaiah is speaking about a time that God's people with joy will draw in the supply or the wellsprings of salvation, your Savior. This has been a big week for me personally. And I have found this. I need to go to Jesus or my supply will run low and I will get dry and I will get weary and I'll get broken and I will get tired. But praise God, whatever he asks you to do, he'll equip you for. Just always remember where your supply comes from. It's not for YouTube. It's not for Netflix. It's getting alone with Jesus. And when you're there, you can draw with joy because he's a joy giver. Rebecca was going to the place of and it's a place of supply. The whole setup of the marriage, the eventual marriage, was to be at the place of supply. It's Mother on Sunday. And praise God for you moms. You moms need a supply. You need a heavenly supply. To get up, to get your kids ready, to come here before 10:30, we'll allow you to come after, but to at least come, to make yourself look presentable. Moms need a supply, not just ministers. Single moms need a supply. Single dads need a supply. Widows need a supply. Them that are lonely need a supply. If you're a husband, you need a supply. Hey, man, Martin, you're laughing. You can. I'm telling the truth. Dads, you need a supply. If you've got loads of friends, you need a supply. If you're fae here, you need a supply. If you've uprooted your life and you're here and you're learning a new language, you need a supply. The supply of Jesus is not just for ministers and elders and deacons. It's for the Christian, for life. For Jesus says the enemy comes to steal, comes to kill, it comes to destroy. But behold, I have come so that you may have life, and life in its fullness. Resurrection Sunday, a bunch of people turn up, and the angel says, why are you looking for Jesus in the place of the dead? He's alive. He's the resurrection king, and if you would mark some time for him, you would find that forever your circumstance lands on earth, whether you're amazingly privileged or you find yourself feeling underwhelmed or overwhelmed, Jesus is a supplier of life for the privileged and underprivileged, for them that are going well and for them that are hurting. Have you been to the supply of life lately? Have you dug with joy the wellsprings of your Savior? You can sum up the gospel in three words: come to Christ. For the lost, come to Christ. For the hurt and for the broken, come to Christ and you will live. And yet for the church, it's not to say you found Christ in 2002. Now forget about him. For the church of the living God, come to Christ. I pray as we meet together as the body of believers that we will draw on the wellspring of salvation, the place that the original encounter met where Rebecca was at, the place of supply. Verse 16. So he's put the test out and says, right, I'm going to sit here. Whoever comes and offers me water and my camels, she's got to be the one that we will approach her for marriage for Isaac. Verse 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold. A virgin, no man had known her. She went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. She was waiting for the right man. She was being patient. But it says she was beautiful. Now, if the Bible says you're beautiful, you're really bonny. It says that Rebecca came up and there was just something about her. Her natural beauty was seen by all. The church of Jesus Christ is beautiful in God's eyes. Do you believe that? Do you believe the church of Jesus Christ is beautiful? God sees, and the Holy Spirit is getting ready a church that is radiant in beauty. This last few weeks, I've had the privilege to go to different fellowships, different tribes in the family of God. Been to Bethesda, beautiful people, faithful people that love the Lord and love singing the hymns of old, got a marvelous welcome. Was it Calvary? People just in love with Jesus. Beautiful people that love the Lord, that pray for revival, and they want to see people saved. Got a great welcome, great to worship with them, encouraged us in the Lord, and they are faithful people that pray for the church and pray for the lost. I said, they're all of our 50s. Oh, AOG Central. Beautiful people. A beautiful welcome. Beautiful encouragement. They love Jesus. They're trying to win the lost. The Church of Jesus Christ is full of beautiful people. Not just one tribe of beautiful people. Not just one faction or a family that's beautiful and better than all the rest. The global Church of Jesus Christ is beautiful. It's diverse. Some people prefer the hymns of old. Some people the new choruses. I go between. I'm just in a midlife crisis. I'm not sure if you have to choose, do you? I just love truth being sung. In Christ to be glorified and magnified. Some people love wearing suits on Sundays. Praise God. Some people are not in that realm. And that's okay. You come how you want to come. And the Church of Jesus Christ is it's beautiful. Full of kind people. Full of loving people, full of praying people. They might disagree on some different things or the outworking of the Christian life. But the bride of Jesus, like Rebecca, beautiful. Do we go through some dark times and messes? Some of them incredibly public. Yes, we do. But the bride of Jesus is beautiful. And it's about time the church start to declare, start to think differently about church, start to encourage the beautiful believers to better and more glorious things, and they speak down the church. But if anybody gets caught in sin, we should encourage them and tell them there's a way back because we're beautiful people. We don't want the church family to be the ones that are putting down the church family the mist. But we need to see globally, champion the church. If we didn't champion the church, nobody will. We need to be declaring God's family is beautiful. And I can't for I would be with you guys, you beautiful people. You might not look in the mirror and think I'm incredibly, outstandingly handsome and beautiful, but God sees you as beautiful and worth dying for. And when we get caught up in the air we have, it will be majestic and it will be beautiful. It'll be exciting and it'll be honoring. I didn't think you realize how beautiful the church is. I get excited to be in fellowship, to turn up and to go to different places. This isn't a chore. This isn't like, oh, I'd rather be at home watching Celtic like play Ross County. This is the fellowship of believers. This is where we get to come and say hello. This is where we get to be invested in other people's stories. That'll that be a chore to you. I realize sometimes we go through seasons and we have just to turn up and that's enough. But we should be bracking off disappointment, bracking off a bad reputation upon on a church. And we should be championing. Every family goes through stuff. My family, natural family, we go through stuff. But we're still family. Your family, you go through stuff. Church family, we go through stuff, but still beautiful. It's still irreplaceable. And I believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, says here, the YIC church is like how the men saw Rebecca. She came up and instantly beautiful, instantly wondrous. Well, it made all the other women jealous. Because she was so bonny and she got attention, yet she was pure. She was waiting for the right man. And the Church of Jesus Christ should be in a place of beauty and waiting expectantly for our husband, Jesus Christ, for that trumpet to sound. Jesus spoke about a parable of virgins waiting for a husband. 10. 5 already, 5 weren't ready, 5 was expecting, keeping themselves pure for a moment for a husband to arrive with a trumpet sound. Church, keep yourself with an expectant heart, undefiled, unspotted for the world. Mark the world jealous by how amazing and how beautiful the church is. Pray for the church. Speak life into the church. Paul said in Romans that he ministered in such a way to provoke Israel to jealousy so that they might see how beautiful the church is and want some of it they hid and Jesus. Minister in such a way that the world would get jealous for the hope that we carry and go, wow, your spiritual family seem to have hope in a hopeless world. Your spiritual family seem to have a supply of joy when they still go through the same stuff for us. There is something about the beauty of the church that is supposed to mark the people of the world. Stand up and take notice, even with a jealous eye, and say, hey, 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 they've got something because they're beautiful. We've got to pray in just a moment that the beauty of Jesus would be seen in the church. Servant-heartedness in verse 18 and 19. Rebecca came with a servant heart. She didn't have to go. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they had finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher in the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent as to know whether the lord had made his journey prosperous or not. In this waiting period, I believe we see in Rebecca a servant heart, a kind heart, that as a bride of Jesus is being prepared, there's a lot to be said for servant-hearted kindness. This woman went to the well, and this was a test. Forever will give me a drink and my 10 camels. That's a bride fit for a servant king. That would have been a difficult job. A big pitcher. She could have just said, I've got enough water for myself. I'm going home. And praise the Lord. You may be in here this morning and you're just in need of a touch with Jesus for your own. You need that miracle. You need other people to be there for you. That is fit the church, the body of Christ is for as well. But she could have just went, right, that's me, got my water, I'm away him. But she notices this guy, and she's like, do you want a drink? Do you want to be refreshed? Gives him a drink and says, right, you got a lot of camels here. She could have at this point just says, well, give me a drink, I'll have a drink. I'm just away him. But she was kind and she was generous. And she was humble, she's beautiful, and says, your 10 camels, do they need a drink? He says, yes, you can give them a drink. She would have been 10 times, this camels had been really, really thirsty, filled this big, big bucket 10 times, every time, gone back so that the camels might get a drink. Servant-heartedness. Christ, husband, came to serve. There's this beautiful picture in John chapter 13, 12 to 17. You'll know it well. He washes his disciples' feet. And then he said this, and then we ought to wash others' feet. Jesus is saying this, I'm the great I am. I'm God Almighty. Yeah, I'm here to serve people. And if you've got dusty feet, Jesus wants to minister to you. But he also left us a legacy of feet washing for other people. He says, you go and do the same. So I could at this point get a basin out and get you to slip off your sheen and your trainers. And I could wash your feet as an example. Air conditions not great in this place. I don't want you to be stunk out. I'm sure you keep your feet in good condition. But he's gotten something beyond natural, he said. Within the body of Christ, and people had dusty feet, serve. And people gather up disappointment in life, serve him. And Jesus is coming for a church that will know if it is to serve. When we meet as leaders, we didn't say, what can we do to Lord our these people that we are leaders and they exist for us? Our heart is this. How do we serve him? How do we serve this community? How do we show them the love of Jesus? And it's a beautiful heart of servanthood. And because of our servant heart, it prepared our well for meeting Isaac. Jesus came to serve. Mark chapter 10, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's coming back for a church that will serve well, to bear with one another's burdens with simple kindness. Somebody this week put whispers through my door. Just a little kind gesture. I was having a bad day until I seen that whispers. And even when I seen that whispers, I'm not telling a lie, I burst out laughing. I just burst out laughing and I felt really honored. Because I felt as though somebody was listening Sunday, and if they did their shopping, they got some whispers because they thought of me, and they jumped in their car or they walked to my door and they put it through. That's just kind. Kindness goes a long way to cheering people up. Simple acts of love and kindness. Let's do well to serve other people. And lastly, it's this. Will you go? Verse 57. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was beautiful. She was pure. She had a lovely servant heart. But yet she had a free will. She was not going to be forced into the relationship. She was to be put to her, will you go? And she said, I will go. That final decision is yours. God has given you free will to choose to reject. The question I want to put to us as a church this morning, will we go? Will we go? If you're lost, if you don't believe in here this morning, my question to you is, will you go? Do you want to be his bride? Do you want to be caught up? Do you want to be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb? Because Jesus says, I want you. I love you. I'm waiting for you. You're saved in here this morning. Do you see yourself as stunning in beauty? Do you get your supply for Jesus? Are you drinking for the wellspring of salvation with joy? Are you willing to serve other people, to wash other people's feet for the sake of refreshing and helping them on the journey of life? Will you go? Will you go? We will go. Ask a worship team to come back up. Just want to end in prayer. And then we'll worship. We'll take up our offerings. Let's just take a moment. Can decide in your heart and utter your own words about will you go. It's always our privilege to lead people to Jesus. If you're unsure of how to formulate that in words, then please see us straight after the service. Do not hesitate. Do not delay. Today is a day or salvation. Maybe for you that's been coming to church for a while, like me as well, you can lose that place of first love. You can go through the motions until flames of love get reignited once again. And then we realize for it is to get back sometimes to the secret place, to get to know the intimate place of Jesus, to hear his heart, and to worship him with a pure conscience. Sometimes living life in this world, we can still pick up the habits of old, the sin of old. And Paul wrote that the sin that so easily entangles, get rid of it. So it's saying this, as a Christian, there is sin. If you didn't watch, it'll easily entangle you and it'll wrap you up. And then this race that God has got before us will turn into a walk, and will turn into a crawl until you're on your knees in a moment of repentance, which is a good thing. I'm just going to pray for us as the bride of Christ. It says there, if you read it, you'll have more time. Genesis chapter 24, it says the servant, Abraham's lead servant, starts adorning Rebekah with gifts. The gifts. The gifts. That before she met Isaac, she was going to be beautiful and full of gifts. Jesus, the church is your bride. It says that you came to lay your life down for your church. And then through the Holy Spirit, it says, and so husbands should love and lay down their life for their wives. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you came and you laid down your life for us. And if we would believe in you, we would look forward for our eternity. The fate is to be joined together in a love union with the God of love. We thank you for the nail-pierced hands, that for all to make it possible, you to pay an ultimate price to get your bride. And we thank you for that crown of thorns that was placed on your head, that point of suffering and pain, yet it was not the end of the story. For you're a resurrection power. You burst out that tomb and the stone was rolled away. And you're alive. And you are well and you reign over all. You are King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you are a God of love and who is love. I pray for your church. For all that meet in different buildings, different places and spaces, that God, they would be enriched with a supply. Oh, Jesus Christ, we would drink with joy the wellspring of life. God, for them that feel lonely and lost and downtrodden and feel as though they've got a radio, that you would be the God of all comfort. You would be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You'd become their true husband. And they would find encouragement in the presence of Jesus. And God, we thank you that you're preparing a beautiful, pure bride. And we pray for the beauty of the church to be made known. That for believers, that believers would start to believe how beautiful the church is. That yes, it can get messy. But yet it's so beautiful you thought it was worth to come to die for. And you will receive your bride for our eternity. And God, help us to pray not just for our tribe, but for the church, that you would strengthen the church, your name would be preached in the church, that we'd stand in the truth of the Bible and church, and God, we'd get caught up in your beauty as you adorn us with gifts and help us with the outworking of others to keep a kind and tender heart. That if we find people that are got some dust in their feet in the journey of life. Help us with kind gestures to stoop low in humility as you showed us, and to wash their feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for a moment.